'Tis thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, all are food and night hold my faithfulness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness.
Sin and a peace that endureth, thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow.
Thank you, and be seated.
Boys and girls, it's our turn now, so come on down. While they're coming, let me just say that Anna and Phil are my adopted parents. I love them very, very much. And it's wonderful they've been married 60 years today. Rover was a great big dog that lived on a farm in Zimbabwe, Africa, and he had the greatest life of all. If monkeys came into the cornfield, Rover would chase them out. If a black mamba or a spitting cobra slithered into the garden, he was the one that would warn the farmer's children. And besides that, his favorite thing of all was to ride in a farm vehicle, a Jeep or even a car or whatever. He loved it. But one day, a terrible war came to Zimbabwe, and his family moved away. Now, they left him with the farm workers, And the farm workers were very kind to Rover, but they didn't know where he liked to be scratched behind his ears. And they didn't know what was his favorite bone. And they never, ever let him ride in the farm vehicle. So he decided he was going to go find a new family. And Rover walked and walked and walked. And finally, after a long time, he came to Solusi College, where my husband Gene and I and our two boys lived, along with 1,000 other people. And we lived in a fenced area. And Rover thought, how am I going to get inside that fence? It's way too high for me to jump over, and I don't think I can dig under. So he decided to come to the front gate, and he saw Mr. Tebby, who was the gatekeeper. Now, Mr. Tebby knew all the dogs that belonged in Solusi, and he knew this dog didn't belong. So he says, "Scat! Get out of here!" Of course, he said it in Endebeli, but Rover understood. But Rover was smarter than the average dog. And he thought, I've got to get inside there. I saw some vehicles. I think somebody might give me a ride and I can get a new family. So he waited till the next car came. And a car came to the gate, and Mr. Tebby opened up the gate, and Rover got on the other side of the car where Mr. Tebby couldn't see him, and he bent really low, and he snuck right in. But once he got in, he had to find a family. Well, the very first thing he did, he saw some children playing. He saw Mrs. Egan's grandchildren and my little boy, Michael, and they were playing. And he rushed up and he wagged his tail and he put a happy smile on his face. And they thought, what a nice dog. Now, they knew he wasn't a Solusi dog, too, but they said, let's find him a family. So they came to my house first, and Michael says, Mama, look at this nice, nice dog. Can we have him? Please, 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 please. And I says, honey, I wish we could, but we really can't because we have Mr. Meow, and Mr. Meow would not like it if we got another pet. So they went from house to house, and finally they came to Mr. McGee's house. And his children were all grown up, and he had no dogs and no cats, and he says, I'll take Rover. He can live with me. Now, Rover loved Mr. McGee. Every day when Mr. McGee went to teach, Rover went right along, and he would park himself right outside the classroom. And on Sabbath morning, when Mrs. McGee was all dressed up nice, and Mr. McGee had on his suit, and they'd go to church, Rover would go along, and he would lie right outside the church. Well, most of the time he did. One time we saw him. The deacons always were very dignified, and they all wore suits, and they would march upright down the middle aisle, and we looked. Rover had on his brown suit of fur, of course, and he decided he was coming in too. And so he followed right behind the deacons, only he went really, really low like this. He thought nobody would see him, but do you think the kids saw him? Yes, they were all laughing. He also would come to our potlucks. We had potlucks outside, not inside like we do here, but under some big baobab trees. And Rover would come along. Mrs. McGee would have a big pot of food, and Mr. McGee would have their chairs. And Rover would carry his dish in his mouth. And he came to every potluck. Do you think he rushed to the table and started sniffing and grabbing food? No, he would sit over, and everybody got their food first, the men, the women, and children. And finally, when we were all fed, Mrs. McGee would go and get Rover's bowl that he had carried, and she would put food in it, and he would eat there. They also told us something else he did really interesting. They always had worship at their house right before they ate. And Mr. McGee would kneel down by his chair for prayer. And Mrs. McGee would kneel down. And Rover would crouch down by his chair. And he'd put his little paws together. And he'd wait. And then finally, when Mr. McGee would say, Amen, Rover would jump up. And they would hand him two pieces of bread. He was a wonderful dog. Well, one day, Mr. McGee told Michael, my little boy, he says, you know, we're going away for 3 months for our vacation. It was a furlough. Would you take care of Rover? And Michael came running home. He says, Mama, Mama, can I take care of Rover? And I thought, well, as long as Rover stays outside and doesn't bother our cat, it'll be fine. So I said, sure. So they brought over his little house, and Rover was supposed to stay outside. Do you think he stayed outside? No, he didn't stay outside. But he was smarter than the average dog. He knew he could chase every cat on campus except our cat. He never, ever chased Mr. Meow. And sometimes we'd see him curled up with Mr. Meow, enjoying the sunbeams in the living room. So he knew that he needed to get along with that kitty. Well, I remember one time we had all gotten dressed and gone to Sabbath school and church, and Rover had gone with us, and he was lying down outside, and then he came back, and Mr. McGee had always taken him for a little walk after church, and he'd take all the other children with him, too. They'd pile into Mr. McGee's old truck, and they would go outside the campus and have a walk. And Rover knew that it was Sabbath because we'd all dressed up and we'd gone to church. And we weren't going on a walk. And he put his little paws up like this, and he didn't hardly look, and he didn't wag his tail. He was sulking. So finally, Jean said, Rover, would you like to take a walk? Oh, yes! He didn't say that, of course. He just wagged his tail like this, and he went, yep, yep, yep. And so we all piled in the car, and Rover was sitting right behind Jean, and we were driving down to go outside the gate when Rover saw another dog, and he went, woof, woof, woof. And Jean turned around, and he says, Rover, you stop that right now, or we're going right back to the house. There will be no walk. And do you know what Rover did? He clapped his mouth shut, and he still wanted the barks to come out, but he knew he couldn't. And he went, just like that. But he obeyed. And then another thing that Rover did, he was taking a walk with our little boy, Michael. And Rover had gone to chase a rabbit, and Michael was far ahead. And some boys, some college students, jumped out. They were going to tease Michael a little bit. They liked Michael. But they decided to pick him up and hand him to another kid and then to another kid. Rover was way, way back, but he saw that happen. And he came bursting forward. It 1 foot hardly hit the ground. He was running so fast. And he ran. And he started growling, grrr, grrr, and he bared his teeth, and those boys dropped Michael just like that, and they said, we didn't know you had Rover with you. Now, there's some lessons I've learned from Rover. One is, it's good to always go to Sabbath school and church, isn't it? It's good to be quiet during prayer. It's good to be obedient. He was obedient when Jean told him to be quiet. And we can have friends that aren't like us. He became very good friends with our cat, and they were very different. And last of all, if somebody tries to bully a friend of yours, you need to help to defend them. Okay, you may take your seats now.
Morning again, church family. It's time for the offering. Today's offering is going for the North American Division's funds for evangelism in large cities. Now, how many of you have ever been involved with any type of evangelism in a large city, like New York, Los Angeles, where we live, San Francisco? Anybody raise their hands? A few. Large cities have their unique challenges. And part of those challenges is of course, money. But today, in addition to your funds going towards this effort, I'm going to ask something special from you guys. How many of you have prayer lists? Would you all take up the challenge to add to your prayer list North Americans' efforts to evangelize to the large cities? They need special prayer more than they just need money. Money is something that, you know, to God, he can get stuff done. But what's really most, I believe, important for him is to hear his people cry out in prayer for his power to be poured out. So at this time, would the deacons please stand? And let's ask a blessing on the offering. Father in heaven, today we ask, Lord, that your blessings would be poured out on what funds we give to you to reach out, Lord, to these cities across the United States. Without your spirit, Lord, I don't believe much can be done. So, Father, match your power, your love, and your spirit to the funds given, Lord, by your church. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I can't help myself. I just have to say something. Our pastor commented when our dear anniversary couple were coming up on the fact that they were a bit short. You know, I didn't realize how short our pastor is until he was standing between Dr. Potts and Pastor Will. I belong to the short tribe myself.
I'm with you. Yeah.
But, you know, I think in God's sight we're all giants because he sees us as we can become in Christ. Well, it's time for our scripture and prayer. Dorothy is going to have our scripture.
Our scripture reading comes from John 15, 9 through 11. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete.
One way we show respect is by kneeling. And so if you're able to kneel, I'd invite you to do that with me. If you can't kneel, let's just reverently stay where you are as we pray. Father of heaven, again, it is a delight to be in your house. What a blessing the Sabbath day is. Thank you for giving us this special time when we can get away from the pressures of work, the pressures of the weekday life, and have time to worship, to study your word, to fellowship, to rest, to serve. Thank you for the Sabbath. We pray for a very special blessing here in your house during this worship service. May your Holy Spirit speak to us through each part of the service. Thank you for the blessing that you have for each one of us who are here. There are members of this congregation who could not be here today. We want to especially pray for a blessing for them. Some of them may be discouraged. Lord, help them to look to you and realize that you can lift every burden. You can forgive every sin. You can help in every situation. I just pray for those who are not here to surrender themselves on this Sabbath day completely to you. Some are ill. Father, the list is long as we look in our bulletin of the prayer list there. Many of those people are suffering from some physical malady. You know each one. You know each need. I feel constrained today to pray especially, though, for our brother Bill Williams. We hold him up to you. We know that you love him. Please be with him. Strengthen him. Give him courage. And Father, again, we would cry out to you for healing on his behalf. There are members in this congregation who are looking for work and can't find a job, like many in our country. And Lord, that's a very difficult time. Please be with our families who don't have the work they need. Bless them with a job. Give them courage. There are those who are bereaved today. We think especially of Ann Curry and her family, and of the family that just now, just a few thousand yards from us, are saying goodbye to a loved one. Lord, bring the blessed hope to these bereaved families. We want to pray for the children and the young people in our church. Oh, Father, our world, our culture, our society is geared to try to attract away our children and our young people from you. Help us to be faithful as parents, as church members, as friends of these young ones, to set for them a right example and to give them encouragement and to draw them in close to you. Father, we want to take this opportunity now to put our lives anew in your hands. Thank you for accepting us. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for saving us. In Jesus' name, amen.
want that one. Thank you. Have you been blessed this morning?
Amen.
Wow. Kevin, I have to acknowledge Kevin. Good to see you. Happy Sabbath. Kevin is a good friend of mine. He's blessed us with music here many times, and just good to see you. Missed that. I'm going to invite Will to come up and join me. Then I'm going to make a comment or two about something I have in my hand here. But first and foremost, tell me what's happening here starting November 6th.
We're going to have a week of spiritual emphasis, week of prayer here at church.
A week?
A whole week. And a Sabbath.
Well, we start on Sunday. Okay, that would make it complete.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Seven is a number of perfection, so this is good.
Indeed, yeah. It's also,
the
emphasis is family, Pastor.
Yeah, for family.
It is, yes.
Oh, you mean I can bring my baby?
You could.
Well, I don't have one, fortunately.
You could.
Michelle would be, I'd have to be getting her out of the middle ward if that was the case. She said, no more after two. But families.
Indeed, yes.
If I have an infant.
I haven't been working on that end, but on my end of the week of spiritual influence, I'm working on a programming for children.
Yes.
So if you have children that are out of diapers, I can handle that. But if you have a child that's in diapers, I'll keep thinking.
All right. Well, we'll work something out. Moms might even want to keep that little one. So then you're probably going to be okay there.
That.
You're going to. Well, how far to the other end of the spectrum do we go?
From the
from
youth?
Birth to. For this is a week of prayer for.
Oh, it's for everybody.
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 Doesn't matter how old I am.
No.
If I'm an infant, as long as mom's with me, I'm good.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
All right. But, wow, I'm excited. Well, yes. What's the theme going to be about?
It's going to be
on grace.
It's going to be on grace.
God's grace. Mm-hmm. Marvelous grace. Wow. Any of you need grace in your lives?
Every day.
Now, we haven't done this here.
Don't ask
probably
me.
Probably in my tenure here.
Okay.
To this level. So how many of you can take and push the pause button on your busy life for seven evenings, two of which will be on Friday night and Sabbath, so that shortens it to five.
How long is it?
Sunday.
1 hour.
Oh, you're talking about how long?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so pushing the pause button again, how many of you can take 1 hour plus the travel time it takes to get here and back home to let Jesus know how much you love him so that he can feed you? How many of you can do that? What a privilege we will have to come together and just grow in God's grace and God's love. And we can bring our children so they can enjoy it too. I love that. Thank you, Will.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you. And speaking of incredible things, this is another way to share Jesus' light. The primary children were sharing Jesus' light today. And if you saw me earlier, I had to get up to go to the door to get my light from one of those primary attendees. And here's what it says. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 8:12. Jesus is the light of the world. Can you say amen?
Amen?
And where's Caitlin? Caitlin is the one that shared this with me this morning. Where are you, Caitlin? There she is. Thank you so much, Caitlin, for sharing this with Pastor Dennis this morning. Thank you. I will cherish it until it's gone. It's a sucker. Say no more. Thank you. Thank you, Will. My friends, I'm looking at the clock and I'm thinking, wow, how can I wrap up John 15, verses 1 through 17 in about 8 minutes? We're going to do that. How many of you have ever heard the parable of the vine? Remember, I commented when Anna and Phil were up here that they had the right colors on for today? What colors did they have on? Purple. What do you think of when you think of a grape? Now, we have green grapes, white grapes. I know we have these other colors, but traditionally you think of grape as a purple grape, at least I do. And they are shining examples of what beautiful grapes Jesus has. You know, I thought when I was going through this parable, flashback to an Old Testament story, children of Israel, right at the border of the Promised Land, and Moses and the leaders there decided to send 12 spies into the land. Remember that story? Now, somewhere in my mind, I didn't look it up in Scripture, but I see two of those men coming back with a big cluster of grapes hanging from a pole, carrying it on their shoulders. Am I the only one that remembers seeing that picture, or any of you remember seeing it? So, all right, was it in the Bible story? What book was it in? Bible story book. All right, well, that's the picture that is etched in my mind, and when I think of vineyards, I'm going, whoa, would not any vineyard owner want to own one of those vineyards where his cluster of grapes took two men to carry it? Imagine the vine that would be on. Wow. But here's the moral of the story. Remember, I'm taking advantage of time here. Of what value is the actual vine of itself if it is not producing fruit? What can you do with grape wood? What can you build with it? Well, you could probably build some things with it. But can you build a house with grape wood? No. It doesn't have any real strength. It doesn't have any real use other than primarily to grow grapes. Now, in the analogy that Jesus is giving in this chapter, he is giving the analogy that he says, verse 1, I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. Keep going. Verse 2. He breaks off every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and prunes every branch that does bear fruit, so that it will be clean and bear more fruit. Wow. Okay, so there's some cutting involved. If you're a vine, you got to be cleaned up. Yes or no? If you have dead wood, is that going to produce any fruit? No. So what happens to the dead wood? It's pruned off, it's cut off, and then in verse 6, see if Carol can find those who do not remain in me are like a branch and dry up. And such branches are gathered up and what? Thrown into the fire. So there is a second use of grape wood, at least dry grape wood, and you can get some heat from it. But which is the better use of the vine? Produce fruit. Would you agree with me on that? So, who is the vine? Jesus is the vine. Who are the branches? Look at yourself. Get your mirror up. That's me. And you. And because we want Jesus really actively engaged and involved in our life, we're going to be fruit bearers and we're going to go out and share the good news. Correct? Ah. Otherwise, if we shrivel up, we get cut off. And then what? Thrown into the fire. So the two alternatives are productive, plugged in fully and completely to Jesus, bearing good fruit, and we get to see the results of that relationship with Jesus. Isn't that nice? That is so awesome. You know, you heard me talk about Bill next door, who's having the funeral for his wife. The day after she died, he was sitting at McDonald's with me, And he came over and he said, he saw my Bible sitting there and he says, "Pastor Dennis, can you share some news with me this morning?" I said, "No." I did not say no. I said, "Yes." So I'm thinking, what does he need to hear this morning? So I went to John 14, the chapter ahead of the one we're working on today. What was that one all about? How does that one start? "In my Father's house are. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I will come again," paraphrasing, "receive you unto myself, that where I, Jesus, am, there ye may be also. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And then I took him to verse 27. "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, Bill, neither let it be afraid." And Bill, there's one more chapter in this book of John that you've got to read. I'm going to give it to you. He was actually reading those verses, because I'd handed my Bible to him. I said, "Go to John 11. Now, why would I take him to John 11? Who is in the story, or who is the featured person or persons in the story of John 11? Lazarus. Very good. Very good. Why would I want him to read the story of Lazarus? Because Lazarus was sleeping in the tomb. Ahead of that, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." No. So there's a lot of wonderful spiritual applications that I hope he's hearing this morning. But I will continue to share these with him. And he says, "Oh, I've got to keep these. I've got to remember these. I'm going to write these down." And he did as he left. But my friends, the vine. The vine is so important. You and I must remain. I chose this translation today because of the word "remain." Now, if you go back and you look in many of the other translations, you will see the word "abide" or "dwell." But I love the word "remain." For me, that just takes up permanence, doesn't it? "Remain in me," Jesus says. So where there is love, there is life. Jesus gave us that life. And since he is the vine, he is the one that has given us that life that we need to live the full fruit-bearing life that he calls us to be. So I want to leave this couple thoughts with you this morning. The parable of the vine, first and foremost, is a symbol of God's people. That's one application. And if you were to study verses 1 through 8, that would be the implication, that it's a symbol of God's people. Verses 9 through 11 have just a slightly different, picking up with symbol of God's people and then carrying it a little further. It symbolizes the prosperity, the richness, and the prolific growth of God's people to be fruit bearers for Jesus. Because you see, the only purpose for the vine is for it to produce fruit. But if the vine does not produce fruit, it's useless, as the Bible teaches us. Verse 6, "It then is only good for firewood. And other than that, it would be good for nothing." I want to be a fruit bearer, don't you? And I don't want one of those little shriveled up sour grapes. You ever had one of those? They look so beautiful until you pop it in your mouth and you take a taste. I want one of those really big, you know, like the one between... I'm going to put Caleb and Joshua carrying that one. Can I do that? Come back with this bunch of grapes that every grape is the size of an apple. Wow. When was the last time you saw one of those grapes? Talk about juicy. Try to take a bite out of that and stay clean. A little challenging, wouldn't it be? But here's the kind of fruit that God is calling us to be. It's found in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. And this symbolizes you, the members, visitors of the Camarillo Seventh Day Adventist Church. These are the character traits that make you one of those apple-sized grapes with the sweetness of God's grace and power and the Holy Spirit. You know this: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, same with me, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Isn't that good news? You see, the fruit of the Spirit empowers us to thoughtfully and powerfully share the good news of Jesus' love. Thus, we remain connected to the vine, producing that wonderful fruit. And because we are staying connected to the vine and producing the wonderful fruit, we then model what Jesus gives us in verses 9 through 11 of chapter 15. Here's the good news. Jesus talking. I love you just as the Father loves me. Isn't that great? Remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Do you have a rough week this week? Anybody? Would you admit it if you did? Have you had challenges during your week? Here's a good passage of Scripture to remember. If I am plugged into the vine, and Jesus is providing the nutrients for me, and not only is Jesus providing the nutrients, but the gardener is who? The Father. So you have the Trinity helping you all day, every day, regardless of the circumstances in which you find yourself, to see you through and to make sure that you remain healthy, well-fed, and nourished. And then, by remaining in the vine, you are producing fruit. So true joy transcends the waves of circumstances. So you can be having those ups and downs in lives. And there's not a one of us that doesn't have those to some degree or another. Some have more than others. There's no question about that. And life just isn't fair sometimes. But Jesus has promised to be with you always. And then verse 16 and 17 is the crowning piece of this passage of Scripture. Here's what he says to you and me. You did not choose me. Wow. Jesus, I thought I did choose you. Well, you did. But guess what had happened ahead of that? He had chose you. I choose you and appointed you. Uh-oh. Got to get on my work clothes now. Appointed you to go and bear fruit. The kind of fruit that does what? Endures. And so the Father will give you, read this with me, whatever you ask of him in my name. Now there's a test of faith for you. And a promise for you. And when Jesus makes a promise, he keeps it. This then is what I command you, love one another. Visualize that apple-sized grape filled with the juice of heaven, the Holy Spirit's power, Jesus transforming you and me into fruit-bearing grapevines. Wow. I love that. Because you see, where there is love, there is life.
Let's stand and sing. That's hymn number 191. 191.
Love divine, all love's exhaling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, salvation. Enter every trembling heart. Breathe, oh breathe thy loving spirit into every troubled breast. Let us all in thee inherit. Let us find thy promise rest. Take away thy bent to sinning, Alpha and Omega be, end our faith as its beginning. Set our hearts at Almighty to deliver, let us all thy grace receive.
That's our song. As we leave here today, we are lost in wonder, lost in praise. Thanking you, Jesus, for giving us life, for helping us to be the fruit bearers that you have desired that we be. We can't do it without you, Jesus. So keep us trimmed but bountiful fruit bearers for you. Cut those parts of our life off that need to be tuned and become dead wood, so that we can remain live and vibrant. Thank you, Jesus, for filling us with your Holy Spirit so that we will never run on empty, that you, Jesus, will be providing the life for us so that we can share it everywhere we go. In Jesus' name, amen.